Bellwether Friends, definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like. You should trust us because we're librarians. What could be more trustworthy? Unless you've been reading Alcatraz versus the Evil Librarians, in which case you know the truth. I'm Anna, and I'm an evil librarian.
I'm Aline, and I am not an evil librarian, although I do control everything.
Okay. Every couple of weeks, we will get together with someone. And chat about a couple of pop culture topics, what we think and how we feel. We'll end the show with our current obsessions. Today, we have Paula, and I don't know whether she's evil or good or neutral librarian.
I'm chaotic good.
Chaotic good.
Yeah.
That's and about where I would have put you.
That's usually what I am.
I don't know if Aline knows about classes.
Oh.
That's okay. Classes?
It's okay. Like a role it's all right. Thing.
Oh, okay. Right. An evil good. Yeah. Got it.
No, not evil. Evil and good are two different. There's chaotic and there's lawful and there's good and there's evil and then in the middle.
I know.
So should I leave y'all alone with this? Let's have a whole
episode where we just teach Aline about D&D.
Ooh, okay.
Oh my gosh. So having mentioned that, the response that we are going to get to this episode with all of our friends saying, I'll help. Can I be on that episode? It's no.
Yes, you can all be on that episode.
15 people on Skype talking about D&D.
Sounds excellent. Good.
Chaotic good.
That's what Paula is.
Okay.
I think that you might be lawful neutral or something.
Lawful neutral? That sounds really boring. What are you trying to say to me?
You're not very chaotic.
Yes, I am.
I was going to say, have you met her?
I am super chaotic, and I'm trying to keep it under wraps.
That's true.
She's so chaotic, you wouldn't even get it.
I was chaotic before chaos.
Oh my god.
She's the original chaotic. You don't even know.
Now I'm imagining playing D&D with you. I think it would be exciting.
I'm okay. I'm a little too shy. I don't do the voices.
Oh, well.
So.
Oh, there are voices.
Well, you're playing a character.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I always am like, okay, so then I go over there and I do this. I'm never like, I'm going to the left now. Fire spell or whatever. I just don't.
I want to just sort of hide in a closet next time you're playing D&D with the people who do that.
Interestingly enough, and not to shout out myself, but I'm on another podcast where we do in fact play RPGs and record it.
Wait a minute. So does Anna's sister.
Yep.
Really?
Yes. What? Maybe you're on the same one.
I don't think so.
I think we know, but who knows?
Huh. Interesting. So are we here for any particular reason today,
Anna?
No, actually,
we're just here to chat.
Okay.
Who was it? Was it Allie's dad that said he listened to the podcast and he was like, it's just you talking to your friends.
Yes, dad, as a matter of fact, it is. So I haven't talked to Paula in a really long time and I used to stop by her desk unexpectedly and talk to her almost every day. So we've got
a lot of catching up to do.
Coming up on a year and a half's worth of,
yeah.
Hey, have you tried any Reese's peanut butter cups?
A, I love your glasses. B, your hair is really long.
Yeah.
That's all I've got so far.
Okay. We turned off the video, so there shouldn't be any more of that.
It is really long. Are you going to do anything about that?
Anna wants me to get a haircut. It's been 4 months since I got a haircut.
I can cut it.
It's so cute.
See?
It is cute. You're right.
Maybe I should get bangs.
Oh my gosh.
Never bang.
You don't believe in bangs, I know you're
That's
kidding.
What I said that.
My whole life is growing out my bangs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't had bangs since 8th grade.
You're a smart woman.
Even when I had super short hair, I insisted that the front of my hair be as long as my chin.
And now that's my goal. I've got a pixie, and yet I have bangs.
Oh my gosh.
It's really unfortunate.
Ugh, bangs.
So many bobby pins.
God for bobby pins. So back to Anna, if there was a reason for us to be here.
We said we'd talk about a couple of topics, but we have such a huge topic to cover today that we're just going to talk about audiobooks. The undiscovered country.
They're pretty well discovered in our...
In our circles, yes.
Circles.
But I every day, I feel like I'm at the doctor's office or something, and people are like, I just don't read anymore. And yet I drive 45 minutes to work.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to pop up and say, have you tried audiobooks?
Testify, sister.
And I understand that some people cannot take in that information that way, that does not work for them, that they can't, like, pay attention to driving and pay attention to their book. It might depend on the kind of book that they
choose. I have a lot of trouble processing information auditorially.
Yeah.
Auditorally?
Auditory
information.
There you go. That's
whatever. So I am sympathetic to those folks, and yet I taught myself to read audiobooks.
Because also it does depend on the type. If you're just reading like James Patterson, you don't really need to focus so much.
You don't need to have every word. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't. I think you'll be able to keep up.
Star, we have no problem with anyone who reads or listens to James Patterson.
Disclaimer statement. Thank you, James Patterson, for bringing reading to so many people.
You're surprisingly charming in person.
Yes, he is.
He is. I met him when I worked at the bookstore.
See? Did you? How awesome.
Yeah, he always wears the same leather jacket.
Oh, yes. We've seen that leather jacket.
Okay. Yeah, it's his author picture.
So let's talk about...
Sex, baby.
That's a different...
Let's talk about you and me.
Episode.
Anna has two alleys and she doesn't know what to do with herself.
Help! Cats, please help me. Let's talk about... When did we first realize that audiobooks were a brilliant invention? Go ahead, Paula.
Oh, man, probably, it's kind of sad. Like 5 years ago, I started ordering audiobooks for my library.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. So then I, you know, having them all in my hands and stuff, I just started listening to them. And it was like, you know, the little sunbeams come down with the baby angels.
Right. Oh.
Yeah. It's like, why did I never? How did
was
I
Was there a particular one that got you hooked, or was it just like, were you doing fiction, nonfiction?
I think I started with nonfiction, which I don't tend to do anymore for the same reasons you guys talked about. I'd have to take notes and stuff.
You know what's funny is I can't read nonfiction, but I listen to it.
See, everybody's different.
I know.
What? You just got to do you. What?
So, but yeah, was there a breakthrough for you?
Just ordering them, I guess. I mean, I don't even think I'd be listening to them now if I didn't order them for 100 years.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't remember a specific breakthrough audiobook, but I do know that when I changed jobs from a 30-minute bike commute to a 50 to 90-minute car commute, I stepped up my audiobook listening sharpish.
That would do it.
Yeah. And so that was 7 or 8 years ago now, but yeah.
I don't remember when I started. It was probably in the last 10 years.
Oh, prior to that, though, now I'm thinking about it, the Harry Potter audiobooks.
True.
Were the first audiobooks that I listened to, and they were rereads, which we'll probably talk about later. And I started listening to them around the third or fourth one, which was released. I guess Goblet of Fire was released in 2001 or 2002.
A really long time ago now.
It was a super long time ago. But that...
No, it's not that long. We're not that old, you guys.
Yeah, we are.
Well, one of us is.
Oh, hush. So those are going to be the key to my audiobookening.
You know, actually, mine was probably the Stephanie Plum mysteries.
Really?
Which I listened to. And the narrator on those, I'm blanking on her name, but she's really good for that role.
Yeah.
And so even though the same things happen again and again in the Stephanie Plums, like if you listen to it, it's very comforting.
Yes.
Oh, that just reminded me that I listened to a lot of the Agatha Raisin books.
Did you?
Oh my gosh, like 20, 30 of them. And it's the same. It's the same thing every time. But when I was in school, that's all I wanted.
Yep.
So you just hear this comfortable little, like, you know, you go to the Cotswolds and it's the same thing over and over. But the narrator of those is really good too.
Narrator is huge.
Huge. Key.
Seriously.
We can segue now, to our favorite narrator picks, because I know that some people come into the library and they actually go by narrator rather than by series sometimes. They're get me all of your whoever's.
Well, that's how I stock my staff picks display in the audiobook section, is by narrator. Yeah, do you have favorite narrators, Paula?
I do. Well, it depends, because I have things with people's voices, which probably if I could hear my own voice, I would hate it. But I love Jim Dale.
Yep, Jim Dale.
I prefer him, I think, to Stephen Fry, which is probably, like, blasphemy to some people.
No, well, you know, I was... When I was Googling around today trying to just, like, jog my memory on some of my favorites, I was like, oh my god, I have not listened to the Stephen Fry's. So I need to give one a try, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. I mean, he's got a great voice, but just, like, when he does voices, his Hermione is... It drives me up the wall, so I can't do it. So I'm a Jim Dale girl.
Yeah, he's amazing.
But and then the same thing, like, I don't know if you know Balky from Perfect Strangers.
Yes.
He is a big audiobook narrator.
He really?
Oh my gosh.
Bronson Pinchot, that's his name.
Yeah. And so depending on my mood, every other thing he's narrating all the time. But the best and like the king of audiobook narrations he does every single one is George Newbern, who was on Scandal as the assassin guy, but he was also, you know, in Father of the Bride he was the groom. He does like, once you see it, you will never not see George Newbern. He pretty much just does every audiobook that's ever been recorded in the whole world, but he's so good because it's very non-offensive voice, very nice voice. He's just great.
So on my list, I have Simon Vance, who is my favorite.
He is a household Vance. Favorite. We do love our
Who has
Simon.
Favorited some of my tweets before.
Yes, he does. Yeah, when we mention him, he favorites us.
Awesome. I mean, I'm writing this down so I can remember.
And Kate Redding. I like Kate Redding as well. As she does the narration on some of the ginormous Brandon Sanderson books listen to. So there's like two parts. She does all the female voices, and then another guy does the male voices. I have nothing against him. I just prefer Kate Redding.
Right.
Well, and you know, Kate Redding reads Bellwether. Didn't you just tell me that?
Did I?
Yeah. Bellwether by Connie Willis, the book that gave the podcast its name, is read by Kate Redding.
You're right. I did tell you that.
Yeah.
Now I have to double check.
So I made Anna look it up right before the recording, and she told me, and then she just argued with me.
I can't remember anything.
But yeah, so thank you, Kate Redding.
Gaslighting you.
Yes, she is gaslighting me. Thanks. Who else is on your favorites list?
That's it.
That's it? Well, have I got a list for you. Actually, I had Jim Dale and Simon Vance listed as well. I love, 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 love. I can't believe that I have gone this far into the conversation without mentioning the Franny Fisher Mysteries read by Stephanie Daniel.
Stephanie Daniel.
There are 20 of them, and she sadly is no longer with us. And I don't know if she has read other things, but those 20 Franny Fisher Mysteries by Cary Greenwood, read by Stephanie Daniel, are spectacular. I also really like Will Wheaton has read a few books that are really, they really fit him. They're not. Yeah. So I really loved Ready Player One and Red Shirts and highly recommend them. If you have not listened to Jeremy Irons read, he has only done 4 or 5 audiobooks, but he did Brideshead Revisited and The Alchemist, and he also reads Lolita, which brings a completely different thing to that book. I read the book in college, I saw the old movie, I read the book again as an adult, and then I listened to it, and it's really compelling.
Well, he played Humbert, right? In that Lolita movie that came out in, like, 95?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are just a couple quick ones. Steven Weber reads the last. He reads Harlan Coben.
He read It as well.
And he read It.
She's so good.
And he, you know, he's another TV actor who is really great. He's got this wry tone that fits mm-hmm. with the Myron Bolitar mysteries really well. And Davina Porter reads the Diana Gabaldon books. And I like women's voices in my audiobooks if I have a choice.
I like Catherine Kellgren also.
Yep, Catherine Kellgren reads the Incorrigible Children, Incorrigible Wolf Babies, whatever those books are.
Of Ashton Place.
Ashton Place, that's right, by Mary Jackson. Sounds excellent. And she sometimes feels a little shrill, but she's not like the turn-off shrill. She's just emoting.
She is emoting. So, okay, so what would you say makes a good narrator then? What do these people have in common,
Paula? Well, I hate it when dudes try to do lady voices. Like, none of them are good at it. And I think I have it written down here. Oh, the guy who does the Jack Reacher. So mm-hmm. Actually, some Jack Reacher books, because I've listened to quite a few of them, and there's a couple different narrators. And also, I don't want to be mean to somebody's voice. But there's one, and he tries to do lady voices, and it's just not good.
I think I may have started listening to one of those and stopped because of that.
Yeah, it's just not good. I mean, I would prefer that they just keep reading normally, like, not trying to be a female voice,
yep.
as opposed to doing a bad female voice. So there's one of them, and I'm like, nope, can't listen to this one, sorry.
Someone who can distinguish between voices, but their voices don't sound inauthentic.
Yeah, I mean, really, you just have to not annoy me. So, good luck with that.
I think that that's a really good point. One of the things I love, love, love about Stephanie Daniel is that she does different voices, and you can feel the character. You can, like, see the expressions on their faces through her voice. And she does men, and she does women, and she doesn't try to get all gravelly and deep when she's doing a guy. She just pitches her voice a little differently and speaks with a different cadence.
I think that's probably why I like Jim Dale so much doing Harry Potter, because he does them all. Like, his Hagrid is, so good.
And it seems effortless.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it.
What do you think?
I definitely look for people who will vary their reading, who have different voices. The thing that I can't handle is just a sort of flat where it's, I can't tell who's talking, and I can't tell what's going on. And I don't, you know, I might as well be reading to myself with a no dialogue tags. I have on my list here of worst audiobook experiences, I tried to listen to the first Nikki Heat Richard Castle book.
Yes!
And yes. I had to turn it off after, like, one track, because I could not handle the narrator, and it's because he was like, I played it for you earlier, though.
I heard it.
I tried to listen to those too. You're like really just jogging my memory, and I couldn't with those either.
Well, and I didn't want to focus on the negative too much when we were, you know, talking about things that make a good narrator. And my worst audiobook experience was, one of the things I do is I will listen to something that I know that I won't read because mm-hmm. I'm trapped in the car. And I started listening to Naked in Death by J.D. Robb, and I didn't get a chance to look up the narrator, but it was read by a woman, the central character. This is the first of the In Death series with Eve
Dallas
and Reardon. And she was shrieking into the mic. I like couldn't turn. I turned the volume down, and then I couldn't understand what she was saying.
Susan Erickson.
I think that was it. And I couldn't listen to it at all. And I was really bummed because I really wanted to get a taste of this series because people read it so avidly, and I wasn't able to. So the tone,
yeah.
If it doesn't vary, like I listened to the first disc of it, and she was shrieking the whole time. She didn't calm down for description.
She was
it wasn't only in arguments.
She wasn't just really shrieking. Excited when they recorded the first disc, and then she got used to it.
It was pretty tough.
Did you have a worst, Paula?
Didn't I say my worst? But I said my worst. I don't know. I think just the Jack Reacher.
Okay.
Whoever that narrator is.
Oh, right. That Jack Reacher one.
And, okay, no, there is another worst, which is whoever does the Rizzoli and Isles. I tried listening to
Garrettson
some.
The Tess Garrettson ones?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know, because like the Jack Reacher ones, I think there's a couple of different narrators for Rosalie and Niles, but whichever one I tried, I don't even think I made it through a full disc. I was out so fast. Huh. Not a fan. And I don't remember why. I think her Rosalie was pretty annoying.
Well,
which I get, you know, it's like she's a, you know, well, she's Rosalie, but still, I don't know, man. It was bad. It wasn't bad. It wasn't my thing.
I'll the variety that. Of things you're listening to makes me want to ask, do you just grab new things that are coming into the library that cross your path?
Do you have any
path?
Discrimination at or all?
No, not really. Is that how you find out about things? And then do you, like, go back and fill in if you find something later in a series? Or is it totally serendipitous? Or do you, like, look around and get recommendations from people?
I guess, like, all of those. If I see someone that I recognize, I'll try out their audiobook as a narrator. Like Will Wheaton, mm-hmm. if I see him, or the first time I tried his, I was like, I love Will Wheaton. I'm going to try this. Great. And like same with Steven Weber, because I'm a weirdly huge Steven Weber fan. Just like,
are you a Wings fan?
I did like that movie, Jeffrey.
Oh my God, I love Wings so much.
I have been rewatching Wings lately. Yes. Yeah. I have all of the seasons.
Oh my God.
I love it so much.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I love it so much.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
It's my favorite. So yeah, I'm rewatching Wings. Yeah, so I just like pull everything that I can who looks interesting, and then it depends on my mood too, because sometimes I want something that's not like, for me, like Ready Player One or Red Shirts would be something I'd want to listen to if I was on the bus or somewhere where I could like focus. Yes. But then, you know, things like Rosalie and Isles is like I can kind of do my work at work while I'm listening.
Right.
It's not quite, I mean, I'm going to figure out what's going on with Rosalie and Isles. They got into a thing. Oh no, they escaped the thing. Yeah. Something. I mean, I'm going to get it.
Right. Yeah. There's going to be a problem and they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, excellent. We're not really going through our list in order.
We're doing it.
Okay.
I was just thinking about celebrity narrators. A lot of the people we've been mentioning some of the people we've been mentioning have been actors, and I find that sometimes a celebrity narrated audiobook is good, as like Steven Weber is an actor. Great. He can act auditorily.
He can act in an auditory manner.
As well as physically. But sometimes it's like Mariska Hargitay.
It's reading the Hamilton.
Is she not good?
She is very flat. And, oh, I did not but she's know that. She's enthusiastic about her subject matter. And I think I think this is her first time narrating an audiobook.
Okay.
And it didn't make me stop listening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But sometimes I think this celebrity narrator is like a gimmick,
yeah,
that I am wary of. I may have written about it in an article about audiobooks for Library Journal, how it was a thing.
We will link to that article in the show notes.
This might be a thing you have thoughts on.
It might be a thing. I do. So I get, like, as to how I pick my audiobooks, I review them for Library Journal, and so they get sent to me. And so then I get a little bit of, I mean, I have the ability to write to my editor and say, I want this one that's coming out if it's available. But she just sends me things also that she thinks I might like. And so I get a little random audiobook exposure that way. I don't know how you pick yours, Aline.
I pick mine based on narrator. I pick mine based on series. Like, I didn't know who Simon Vance was, but I listened to the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy, and he read them, and that was how I found out about Simon Vance. I get things occasionally. An audiobook will be included in a box full of advanced reader copies that we'll get from a publisher. And we just got one today that I'm excited to listen to, but I don't recognize the narrator, so I'm going to
talk about
that later, maybe, on a later episode, if it works out well. But I think I mentioned that I listen to things that I won't read, so if something keeps coming across the transom at the library and I think I need to know more about it, I'll listen to
Gone Girl.
Right. Yeah, so I listened to The Lost Symbol by Dan Brown, and I managed not to drive into the lake in spite of wanting to throughout.
Do you, here's a question, which is unrelated to most questions we've already tackled, but full cast audio, have you experienced much of that?
No, I see it all the time. I always, my immediate reaction is like, nope, I don't care. I'm not interested. And I don't know why. So I haven't even challenged myself on it.
I just look at it and I'm like, oh. Some Tamara Pierce books. She does the narration, like the narrator bits, and then there's a cast of kid actors that are doing the kid parts, and they are good. She is kind of Mariska Hargitay-esque.
Yeah.
But it's Tamara Pierce, so what can you do?
Well, I listened to one of the versions of the series of Unfortunate Events that had a full cast, and I liked that. But you are giving me a segue into one of my beloved things is Read by the Author.
I was going to segue us there.
And at my old library, which is Paula's current library, I actually lobbied the cataloging department to include that tag where appropriate so that it would be searchable. Because it is...
And did they?
Of course they did. I'm very convincing. If Aline
says it, it goes.
Yeah, right. That's the same here.
Pretty much. I said, and I mean, I've listened to things that were read by the author that were not good. So if you listen to the Harlan Coben, Myron Bolitar series, the first four are read by this narrator guy. And then the fifth one is read by Harlan himself. And it's not good. And then Steven Weber takes over and it's wonderful. But if you think about Bossy Pants is read by Tina Fey, Modern Romance is read by Aziz Ansari, Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me is read by Mindy Kaling. Obviously, these are all performers, so they're doing a great job reading their books. But also, Simon Winchester, who is a writer, does an amazing job. He writes really engaging nonfiction like Krakatoa and The Men Who United the States. And he's just written a lot of really good nonfiction, and he reads it himself.
With this, like the books by stand-up people, Kathy Griffin and Aziz Ansari and people like that, I always, because they have to read their book, I always wonder what would be different if they were reading their book, but they were allowed to go off on whatever tangents they wanted to go off on.
And see, the way Aziz wrote Modern Romance felt like he went with it.
Right, it's true, but the stand-up cut version, you know what I mean?
That would be wonderful.
My pet peeve about audiobooks these days is that I feel like they're not taking advantage of multimedia the way that they could be. So I listen to the audiobook version of As If. It's the Clueless oral history. And it was good, except the narrator, it was like not... I listened to As You Wish, and it had many of the original cast members doing the narrating, which was cool. And then a few were done by a generic narrator, like they couldn't get them, whatever. But in Clueless, they had points at which, if they could have spliced in a bit of a song or a clip from the movie or something like that, it would have been so cool. And like, it would have made the experience even better.
So much better.
So much better. Because you listened to that with me in the car.
I did. And it was, and we agreed on that. And it was similar with
the Hamilton book. So they're just, you know, they're going sequentially through and discussing the songs. Like, and you wanted to stop
and
the
you
book
want to hear it.
And listen to the song so you could know what they were talking about.
They say, like, the introducing riff in this one song is really significant to the entire show. And you're like, so tell us what it
was. And I understand there are rights clearance problems. But I feel like this is a place that things could go and should go someday. Just like my personal soapbox, I feel like... one copy of a book, if you purchase the hardback, you should be able to purchase the ebook for another small amount. You should be able to purchase the audio for another small amount because you're investing in that in that property.
Right.
But this is my own belief in how publishing should be different.
Anna takes on publishing. And,
I like that.
But the multimedia things, one of the things that I found, I listened to the audiobook of Bossy Pants, and I never saw the physical book. You have a habit of getting the physical book when you're listening to an audiobook so that you can refer back to it or, like, go back to something because that's your style.
Well, and I listen to nonfiction, and nonfiction often has pictures. Maps and pictures.
Right, right. Yep. But, so Tina Fey spends a lot of time saying, you can look at your PDF for that, because on the purchased audiobook, it comes with a PDF that has all of the pictures and the scans of her report card and all of these different things that she's referring to. And I'm like, dang it. And so we did that when we listened to Modern Romance. You got hold of the book and we looked at all the charts, and he has images of text conversations and things as part of the book.
They are doing better at including a PDF version. And the Hamilton one does include like a 40. Yeah. It has the pictures and the libretto stuff.
Right. So, well, I'm glad that we've covered the pet peevings of Anna and publishing.
But I want to just segue here back to Read by the Author to say, in most cases, I prefer if the author is not reading their own work. Yeah. I want a professional reader to be doing it.
Yep. I can see that, and I'm not going to fight that at all, but I also feel like Read by the Author brings something to it, and right now you are reviewing an audiobook called The Clancys of Queens, and I don't remember the author's name. I think it's something Clancy, because it's a memoir, and it is read by the author, and she has a regional accent, having been raised in Queens, and she is able to do her, like, gravelly grandmother and her mom just pitch perfect, and it's so engaging. Hey, it's by Tara Clancy.
You're welcome.
And it's, so Anna's just listening to it in the car right now, and it's great.
It is great.
Is there a clip?
I'm looking.
Yeah, after all your harshing on multimedia, not including clips.
Yeah, we'll try to include a clip.
All right, let's see, audio.
I wonder, maybe they should be forced to audition for their own audiobooks to read them.
They should.
Like, have a focus group, because, right. Yeah, if you're great at it, that's great, but...
Play the current track I've got.
Okay.
Burst of clanking glasses, squawking laughs... Wide, white flashes of light from the TVs hanging over the bar, and eye-level blips of color from the tabletop Pac-Man machine. For me, those first few steps into Gregory's proper are no less mind-blowing than coming up from the subway tunnel and finding yourself in the middle of Grand Central Terminal.
Perfect.
So, right?
Yeah, I love it. Already, yeah. I love it. Yeah, yeah, so good.
I don't really want to hear about somebody who grew up in the 70s because I was there, but she's really engaging, and
yeah.
So what else is on the list?
Well, you had mentioned rereading, so is that...
So one of the things that we had on our list of questions was what book is best experienced in audiobook, and I just had categories for that because I couldn't come up with something off the top of my head because when I was looking at best of lists, there wasn't anything that was speaking to my own experience. And I already mentioned that I like to listen to things I won't read, and nonfiction is good, and epics are good, but rereads like Harry Potter mm-hmm. or Connie Willis...
Bet Me
are really, really good. And there are things that I have listened to multiple times. I drove across the country last summer, and in 4 days we listened to the first 4 Harry Potters. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I think I also talked a little, I said something about women's voices, that I want to listen to a woman read more than I want to listen to a man, but...
You don't say.
Isn't that surprising? But I mentioned male narrators who I appreciate, but when I'm listening to something, so something that I don't know, or if I'm just an... If I am looking at a stack of audiobooks trying to figure out what to listen to next, I'm going to look for the woman narrators to narrow it down.
I had a policy a while back that I wasn't going to reread any books. I was going to only read new things because life is short.
Right.
But then I decided I could get around that policy by listening to a book that I had previously read on paper.
Yeah, but I mean, you could also just reread whatever you want to.
Yeah, that's pretty much where, also that's just, where I am now.
And then be like, because life is short.
Life is short. I
think policies. Having policies is short.
It was just a try. But
I go through the same thing.
We can touch on this briefly, but there sometimes is a perception that listening to audiobooks is not reading.
Discuss. Wait. You're going too fast. Because I actually have an answer for the one that's best experience in audio.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
I did my homework, so we can't move on to the New York Times article yet. So, and I only know this because I tried reading the books and listening to them, and listening to them was just way, way better. So it's the Dresden Files books by Jim Butcher.
Have you watched the TV show?
Yes, and I love that actor. I almost wish he was the narrator because he's so good. Well, and, you know, he's on Arrow now. So I know. Oh, my God, he's so cute. Okay.
I've never watched Arrow, but I have a sick thing for the Harry Dresden guy. So, yeah.
He's all up in there. So you might want to give it a whirl. But the narrator of the Dresden Files books is, for about half of them, I think, is James Marsters, Spike from Buffy.
Oh, is he doing so his accent or
his
not?
British accent?
No, there's no accent. Is he American or is he British?
He's American.
Okay, yeah, there's no accent. He just does it. But he also sighs a lot, which I really like.
So is it like listening to me?
No, it's like listening to like Jim Dresden or whatever his first name is. Like he's really just
Harry
acting.
Harry
Dresden.
I was like, I know it's not Jim.
Jim Butcher, Jim, there's too many Jims. Yeah, so he's just like Harry Dresden. And he, like, when he's frustrated or something, he'll sigh and he'll, like, take a long time to draw out the word. Or it's great. Usually that kind of stuff drives me crazy. But with him, with Spike, I love it. And I liked it much better than reading the book. So for me, that's like, if you didn't like the Dresden Files, but you think you want to like them, maybe try the audiobook.
I had so that good experience with Wolf Hall by Hilary Mantel. Mm. I tried reading the book, and I really like Tudor history, so it's not like I was confused by the players or the setting or anything, but I'm reading it, and I can't, the way she writes, I couldn't tell who was talking at any given time. So I started listening to the audiobook, which is written by Simon Slater, and it was like the light switched on. And I could tell what was happening in the book, and it was really good.
It is 24 hours long. Yes, you're looking for a way to spend some time.
An entire day. Yeah. Just don't sleep. Just listen to Wolf Hall. Oh, I have another question I have to ask you guys.
Okay, another question. I'm looking to make sure that I mentioned everything had in my notes.
You talked about how long an audiobook takes. I listen to audiobooks faster than recommended
my goodness. So
speed.
This is my least favorite thing in the world. I get in the car and Anna has the chipmunks reading because she listens at 1.25 speed. And I'm like, I am going to jump out of the car because they are making me so anxious.
Get through more stuff that way.
Yes.
I can't do that.
I'm glad you can listen to more stuff that, well, she's used to listening to me talk, so having it happen fast is works for her.
I listen to podcasts at 1.5 speed.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's because other people don't edit their podcasts the way we do.
That's
so
true.
I take it I'm the only one that listens to audiobooks fast. Got it.
You're the only one in the world.
They developed that technology solely for you.
Right? Well, except so that too leads to the question of...
Jason does too?
What does format are you consuming your audio books in? Are you still listening to CDs or are you strictly downloadable?
I mostly CDs just because that's what I get at work.
My car won't play CDs anymore, so...
So you need a new car. Yeah, and I do the, like, time-consuming, nightmarish thing of putting CDs on my computer so that they are then on my phone.
Oh, wow.
And it takes forever.
Yeah.
And I forget that I can just actually listen to the CDs if I don't want to keep something. But loan periods just defeat me.
Right.
And a lot of things I listen to are things that I have to listen to for work. staff genre overview things that I don't want to read.
All the light we cannot see.
Oh my gosh. That's a terrible... That's one that I stopped listening to. So just like Anna says with Wolf Hall, she's interested in tutors and she knows the environment. I started listening to All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Durr, and I listened to half of it, fully half of it, like 7 CDs worth, and it's a male narrator, and I love the stories of individuals in World War II, like in Europe, you know, the little French girl and the little German boy who grow up to be affected by the war. I love stories like that. I don't like World War II, but I love people and their experiences. And I listened to half of this book and I was like, oh my God, this is the worst book I've ever listened to in my life or I've ever read in my life. And I'm like, but Aline, it's not. I mean, you like this stuff. So it's the narrator and it's just some dude. He's not doing anything wrong. So I might actually have to read the book on paper.
The horror.
Right?
Which just reminded me randomly that I also listened to, what's that Justin Cronin book?
The Passage.
The Passage. Whoever narrates The Passage is just great.
Which?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I loved it big time.
Which
version?
Well, so, unless I'm mistaken.
Never.
That is... Yes. Okay, so I tried to listen to The Passage, and I found out there were 2 versions.
Hmm.
And this happens sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. The version I got was narrated by Edward Herrmann from the Gilmore Girls.
And many other things.
Yes.
No, just the Gilmore Girls. That's all I need to know.
Other things, too. But it was only... It was like 20 discs long or 14 discs long. Or it was a manageable number of discs long.
Was it abridged?
And then I realized it was abridged.
Oh, yeah. No.
That one, 14 discs long, 14 hours long, but narrated by Richard.
Right.
And then I looked up the unabridged one. It's 36 hours long.
But narrated Scott Brink is good.
Okay, but here's my problem.
Okay.
Number one, there was no Edward Herrmann. I prefer things to be unabridged. But I feel that if you can abridge something by 22 hours... and still market it as the same book.
Right.
And there's a lot of extra stuff in that book that I don't need to listen to. So I'm not going to listen to it in either format.
Okay.
Sorry.
Right. No, I can understand that. I can understand that. Yeah.
Interesting.
Some editorial decisions needed to be made then.
So we didn't talk about National Service for the Blind.
Yep.
Which does audiobooks that are... They're professionally recorded, but they are not for the retail market. And so there was a recording studio at the Andrew High School Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, which was one of the New York Public Library branches. And so Broadway actors would go in and they would read a book and they got an hourly wage. And it's a federal service that you have to be blind to partake of.
My grandma did it.
Yeah, and so it's a mail service,
not that kind of mail.
Postal mail. It's only for dudes. It's by mail, and there are a lot of really wonderful, wonderful things. So there are audiobooks available to the blind that are not available in the retail market, and I'm not trying to promote this service, really, because it just makes us envious that we can't get our hands on
them. Yeah, but we should try and hook people who are homebound or blind up.
Yep, should definitely hook people up to it, if we can. And just know about it.
I guess so. The publishing industry has traditionally only converted a very small number of books every year to audio. You know, or publish them simultaneously as audio. But it is increasing every year, the numbers.
There is not as much simultaneous publication. There are things that get some pre-publication attention that will then bring about an audiobook, which is really exciting for
the
authors
and readers. 50 Shades of Grey audiobooks were generated in a real hurry. Once that it was clear that was going to be a thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
What?
I think we might have covered everything.
No, we didn't talk about is...
Oh. Is oh, reading right. reading.
Yes.
Reading. Obviously listening not.
Is reading.
If someone tells you a story, you're not reading.
Yeah, you are. You're taking in narrative.
Oh my god.
Content, not containers, people. Content, not containers.
Sorry. Well, I think there's a different question. Is it reading versus is it cheating, which is how they put it in
the article
that you shared. So you're still getting the information. You're still experiencing the story. But I don't know if it's reading. Although I still say that I read a book if I listened to the audio.
Reading seems to be a blanket term.
Yeah.
Engaging with the narrative. I'll
engage with that narrative.
See, you what?
Nothing.
So, it's not the same as watching the movie versus reading the book.
Right.
But listening to an unabridged audiobook counts as reading the book.
I think so.
Yeah.
It takes a heck of a lot longer.
It does. It takes 36 hours if you're reading the unabridged passage.
And I read faster than an audiobook narrator
does. That's why you speed up.
No.
I still can't speed it up and listen to it, or I'll tear my ears off.
Well, we don't want that.
No.
I think this is a pretty closed question, but they keep...
Yeah, I know.
They keep publishing articles on it anyway. I think I wrote a blog post on this about 8 years ago.
Should we talk about women in comedy next?
Oh, yeah. What's it like being... How do you write a well-rounded female character?
Can you talk about your period?
I can.
And will.
It's the bane of my existence.
Yeah. I have the solution for women in their periods. It's called don't get your period.
Okay.
It's my favorite answer.
All right.
It's totally possible.
Oh, right. I read about that on the internet.
Yeah. You can just Google how to not get your period, and they'll tell you. There's so many ways.
Do you remember that Connie Willis short story? And it's set in a world where women don't get their periods anymore, or they don't have to anymore, and there's that daughter who is, like, elected to get her period, and all of her female family members are like, why would you do that? We fought so hard!
Oh, feminism. Yeah,
that would be me. I would be like, why would... Except I know...
She's like, I just want to experience it or whatever. I need to reread it.
Well, there's a lot of women who are like, it's beautiful. It's like, I feel... Well, I don't even know. I can't even do it because I just don't feel that way. But there's a lot of women who are like, you got to have your period. I love it. It's this beautiful thing.
I have never
and
met
like,
any
nah,
of these women.
Nope. Well, yeah, you got to come to
I'm
Seattle.
I'm glad that we're having a period jag on each episode these days.
Well, yeah, why not?
Oh, God. Okay, that'll work.
Just change the name. Bellwether periods.
So,
fine.
Well, my plan was to record an all plant-based, like, plant episode and call it Bellwether Fronds.
Oh, that's so dorky.
I love everything about it.
Or we're coming up at Halloween, so we could do
Bellwether
Fiends.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. I like that one, too.
Mm-hmm. So, we talked about the National Library of Service for the Blind, but I wanted to tell people, in case they don't know, where they can get audiobooks, because they are pricey if you're going to Barnes & Noble and buying them off the shelf. They're like $60.
They're expensive on Audible, too.
Yes, and I know that lots of people that we like use Audible, even though it's an Amazon-affiliated service.
It's fine, really.
I still will continue to associate with them.
Yeah,
because audiobooks are very important to me. I get my library books through my library, Interlibrary Loan, and through a variety of online services that we subscribe to. So Hoopla, Baker & Taylor, Access 360, Overdrive, all of these pretty much will cover, if I'm looking for a specific audiobook, between our four Overdrive libraries accounts that we have.
I may or may not still have an active library card from a previous location. And we also, there are statewide collections that we have access to here.
Awesome.
Yes. And so if I want something that, you know, was turned into an audiobook and is available digitally. I usually get it that way, and that way I can speed it up. Because if I get CDs, it doesn't work for me anymore. I'm not as patient as you are.
I get everything from the library, and I put the CDs in my iTunes and then put them on my phone because I have a 12-minute commute, and it takes me 6 months to get through a long book. Although I have started listening to audiobooks on my phone while I am puttering around the house by myself on a day off.
Oh, that's good. I like that idea.
I do it when I'm, like, walking downtown or whatever.
Doing chores.
At work, but at my desk.
Yeah. It's good for something like, you know, weeding files or folding laundry or something.
It's really good for when you're at the stage of buying books for the library where you're just moving stuff around in different carts.
Yeah.
And looking things up to see how much they've circulated.
Yep.
Excellent.
So I think that we're coming down on this debate of audiobooks, yay or nay.
We seem to be
a huge debate.
Pro audiobooks. It has taken us a while to exhaust what we had to say about audiobooks.
We're not exhausted, but it has been an hour. We have more to say. But I don't know, Paula, if you want to give us some recommendations for best
challenge.
No, best audiobook. Because I never got to my list of what I thought were my best audiobooks.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, sorry.
What? Really?
So tell us your best audiobooks, Anna.
Thanks. My favorite audiobooks are mostly series. And so the Naomi Novik series of Temeraire books are all read by Simon Vance. And so I recently started listening again after like a 4 or 5 year hiatus. And I was like right back in there. All the characters were familiar, even though there are a gajillion of them. He does a good job of differentiating. Grover Gardner does most of the Lois McMaster Bujold audiobooks, the Vorkosigan ones, and he's also comforting like a warm blanket.
I've listened to at least half of one of those, and it was read by a woman, so...
That was not it. That was Paladin of Souls, but that's also a good one.
Okay.
I recommend listening to Tana French's Dublin Murder Squad books.
Ooh.
Because you get the Irish accent, all the Irish accents that you could possibly want, and great books.
Start with Into the Woods.
Yep.
And warn your friends and loved ones that you will be speaking with an Irish accent.
I love it.
So, other ones that I have recently enjoyed in nonfiction, SPQR by Mary Beard. That was a great.
So, so good.
Great book about the history of the rise of Rome, basically. And Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian is read by Sherman Alexie, I believe. And it is, you would want to have a copy of the paper book because it has drawings in it.
Yeah.
But if you had both together, I think that would be the ultimate experience.
If you didn't hear us talk about SPQR before, which we did talk about it when you were listening to it originally, it is the Roman Empire viewed through the lens of the 21st century, which is really interesting to see the writer makes connections between what happened in Rome and what we're living through.
It's just awesome in general. I like Mary Beard.
Yep.
And then the last one on my list is The Rosie Project, which I listened to because Library Journal sent me a copy, and it has an Australian accented narrator, and it is a charming romance to boot. Okay, 1 hour later, we're done with our main topic. Good job, everyone.
This is why we only did one topic for the audiobook episode, y'all.
This is only part one. Oh, wait.
Anna, do you have a musical obsession?
Wait, weren't you going to ask about the TBR challenge?
Oh, right. Do you have a TBR challenge?
Going.
Well, no, I just have a bunch from you guys.
So we look forward to hearing from you next week about all of them having listened to them all.
Yes, I'm sure I'll get right on that.
Yeah. I have decided that I need to go back to a couple of things that I haven't finished and finish them up. And I already have Wolf Hall because I have to read it for a work thing. So that's queued up in my
phone. It's only 24 hours long.
Woo.
23 if you listen to it fast.
Shoot. I am not listening to it fast.
Fine. I do have a musical obsession.
What is your musical obsession?
Well, we watched the entirety of Veronica Mars season one.
Yeah!
In awesome. Like 5 days. And so my obsession is the Dandy Warhols. We used to be friends.
A long time ago.
Exactly.
We used to be friends. Yeah, there is clapping in the song. That's great.
Excellent.
Do you have a musical obsession, Paula?
I do.
Amazing.
It's Christine and the Queens. The song is Tilted. I don't know if you guys know this, but you should probably... Yeah, you should actually just watch the YouTube video of the song right now, because that really makes it. Okay. And I'm going to learn the dance.
You're going to learn the dance.
Yeah, I'm going to learn the dance. And also, Christine is just legitimately my wife. Like, I have all claims over her.
Okay.
And
noted.
She is... She sort of looks like maybe Bridget Fonda, but like...
Okay.
But, like, updated for now times.
Updated oh my God. For now times.
Yeah.
So Anna is now going to look it up.
it's so good, you guys.
I have an awesome, my musical obsession. On Saturday, we went to see The Queen of Katwe, which is a Disney movie about a young woman in Uganda who becomes a chess master.
Ooh.
From not knowing how to read when she's 12 years old. Based on a true story. To being a chess master. And... Over the closing credits, there is a song called...
Well, they sing it in the course of the movie as well.
Well, the kids sing it, but it's not like the song.
Then it comes to Full Flower.
Yeah, in the closing credits, and it is by Young Cardamom and H.A.B., and it's called Number One Spice. Here's a tiny clip for you. Bring a flavor to the fish, bring a flavor to the rice. We're the number one spice, we're the number one spice. Bring a flavor to the fish, bring a flavor to the rice. We're the number one spice. Oye, gotta admit it, oye, gotta nice. Okay, so quit joking, market to the wig, you price. So,
yeah.
I can't get enough of that.
I'm into it.
It's so good. And you can watch the YouTube video, and it's got like little scenes from the movie and stuff. And these two guys.
I'm surprised that you like something called Number One Spice.
Because I am the number one spice.
I know.
Yay!
I love it.
I bring the flavor to the fish and I bring the flavor to the rice.
This is true. Sometimes our rice is yellow.
Yes, sometimes. Do you have a regular obsession, Paula?
Yes.
Oh, what are you obsessed with this week?
Aside from this podcast, I am obsessed with My Favorite Murder podcast.
Oh.
It is amazing. I have been listening to it for like a month straight. And it is two gals and they talk about
murder. Awesome.
And how
two
cool...
ladies talking about murder?
Yes. And they have all the things that you think should not work on a podcast. They have vocal fry. They don't always know what they're talking about. They make up stuff.
Wait, this sounds familiar.
Sounds really familiar.
It is a pretty good. Yeah, you guys might like it. And there's nothing like super gory. They don't like praise murderers.
Are they talking
it's just...
about like actual murders?
Yeah, it's like true crime buffs.
Okay.
So they cover like they each have their own favorite murder of the week where they talk about, you know, like sometimes it's like the Ted Bundy or sometimes it's Germany. You know, just stuff. And they talk and they're just hilarious. It's a comedy podcast. And
you know, My Favorite Murder really sounds like a comedy
podcast.
Well, and they have there's a cat. His name is Elvis. He gets a cookie. It's great. I think you should probably listen to it. It's pretty great.
Huh.
And they say things
doesn't
like,
listen to podcasts, so it would be on me.
What? Oh, you have to. You have to. You
well,
have
I
to.
Listen to this podcast because I have to do the notes for it. and tell Anna where to bleep.
Congratulations.
But, yeah. Okay, Anna, do you have an obsession?
I do.
She's busy adding My Favorite Murder to her podcast downloads right now.
So, I got there was supposed to be a limited run of this comic book called Goldie Vance by Hope Larson, illustrated by Brittany Williams and colors by Sarah Stern. But then they did the first four and then a number, which said number one of four, number two of four, and then number five came out. And so I'm super glad that they seem to be picking it up because it has so much going for it. It's got its main character is this young woman with a white mother and a black father who is an intrepid mystery solver / valet at the hotel that her dad manages. She's like always trying to help the PI and getting into people's business.
Excellent.
And the art style is really fantastic.
The art style is like, it's adorable.
It's so cute. I'm looking at it right now.
It's super cute. She has this little flirtation interest in this female record store clerk, which is definitely not a turnoff.
It's a gay, interracial, nosy girl sleuth comic book.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
Right? That's terrible.
Yeah. Oh my God, just awful.
So anyway, Goldie Vance, if you haven't read it already, get out there.
Do it.
Ellen.
I have two.
That's fine. I thought you said you had four.
I did have four, but I got rid of... You mentioned Veronica Mars already. And so last Christmas, Anna gave
I gave you my heart.
I was just thinking the next day,
you gave it away.
You have to say, give it away.
All right. Well, we have to do... Anyway, she... Better than her heart, which was two Christmases ago.
Right.
I was all 20 seasons of Law and Order Mothership in a gorgeous box that has... It started in 1990. It started in 1990. And not only that, episode 6 was this sort of dead pilot that had been filmed in 1988. So it's so long ago. It's so, so long. So we started watching season 1 of the Law and Order. And it's great. And it's obsessing me because we've got 4 seasons to watch before I even moved to New York. And then there are all of the seasons that cover when I lived in New York, which that whole ripped from the headlines thing is no joke, let me tell you. And I just...
Wait,
you
used to live in New York?
Just can't wait. Oh, hush.
Are you bringing the flavor to the rice?
I am bringing the flavor to the fish. And that flavor is my second obsession, bacon cheeseburgers.
Okay.
I don't know if I have been obsessed with bacon cheeseburgers for the podcast before.
I don't think so.
I require that my bacon on my bacon cheeseburger be crisp.
Well, yeah.
And that can be a challenge for some. Five Guys does a really good job. If you want a bacon cheeseburger that's going to be quick, go to Five Guys. Cool. We went out to the diner for dinner last night. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I got a bacon cheeseburger that was really, really good.
And I guess that from your reaction.
I am happy with it. I took a picture of it, but I only sent it to one friend. I didn't actually post it on Instagram. And yeah, so there
you
go. Is
it a little inappropriate?
Well, no, it's pretty clean. It's pretty clean. Oh, okay. It's just one bite out of it, and, you know, my face is not in it. But it's...
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God, it's a bacon cheeseburger. I'll send it to you.
I have a sub-obsession.
You have a sub-obsession?
Well, I need to look it up, so keep being cute, both of you.
Okay.
Okay, I'll do my sub-obsession, which is I'm watching the Wallander series on Netflix right now.
Baby Hiddleston, I saw you tweet about it.
Oh, my God, he's so cute with his little curly red hair.
I loved those Wallanders. I don't, you know, I was a fan of Kenneth Branagh a long time ago, and I thought that he really went off the rails. But I watched those and loved them. You've seen Luther, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy. He's my other wife.
Have you seen, what is it, Spiral?
Spiral
is, it's like Wallander, it's like Luther, it's, you know, dark crime, but it's in French, so you have to have the patience for that.
Oh, my God, I'm all in.
And it's really, really good. I watched the first season, and it's I would put it in a category with those.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I took 2 years of French in high school, so I'll probably be all right with that.
Totally gonna be fine.
Yeah, I think I'll get it.
And I was very fluent in French at the age of 3.
Mon crayon est jaune, et mon crayon est large.
No inside jokes. No relationship inside jokes.
No, it's from a movie. It's from a movie. It's that movie with Anthony Edwards in it. The spy movie back in the 80s.
A spy movie with Anthony Edwards?
Uh-huh.
These things do not add up.
It's really good.
Anthony Edwards, very subtle.
Now I'm going to have to look it up. Have you found your sub? Your
yes,
sub?
I have. Okay. So, there is a new podcast.
What?
Called Crossover Appeal. And it just released its fifth episode, in which we are mentioned. Our Persuasion
really?
Episode is mentioned. And I have all the episodes on my phone, and I keep meaning to, like, binge them. And this is going to be the thing that pushes me into it.
Okay.
But it's hosted by Annie Cardy and Walt McGuff. But the concept is Crossover Appeal is a biweekly podcast about media, fandom, and who you'd ship. They take two popular pieces of culture, analyze their thematic relationships, and then figure out how to mash them up together. So this latest episode is Persuasion and Star Wars. And the first one was The Gilmore Girls and Battlestar Galactica. The second one, Downton Abbey and Lord of the Rings. The third one, Miss Fisher and Orphan Black. And the fourth one, Friday Night Lights and Pacific Rim.
Oh my god. So the Anthony Edwards spy movie
Hold on. Paula's reacting.
Gotcha.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah. But it was from 1985, so you should hunt that down, because it was great.
I pulled it up. It looks ridiculous. I can't wait to watch it.
It's amazing.
So, Crossover Appeal, they have had the good taste already to mention us.
This is good. And I love their tagline is ship responsibly.
Yes.
I love it.
So that's my sub.
Awesome.
Endorsement.
Who did they pick to go with Orphan Black?
Probably all of them. Miss Fisher, Dot, Jane, Ruth.
Oh man.
Jack.
Okay.
And there are only 5 episodes, so you can get on board.
You can catch up, and you can be
part of the in crowd. It's not like such a long list of back episodes.
For real.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of our show. Finally.
Finally, whatever. We're awesome. People are going to want to listen to us.
Right? They're going
to
be like, bring Paula back.
Absolutely.
More.
We're not going to be able to stop her from coming
Paula's
back.
Paula's going to start a Twitter campaign.
I'm just going to constantly be signed into Skype, like, talking to you guys.
That's fine. We would
Sounds
be fine
great.
With that.
It'll
be 2 a.m., and I'll be like, so.
Well, it's 5 here, so Aline would be up if you wanted her to be.
I could be.
Thanks for listening. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HelgaGrace.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SurlySpice.
Number one spice. I'm Paula. You can find me on Friendster at... No, I'm just kidding. That's not real. I'm on Twitter at Nerdista, N as in nerd, E-R-D-I-S as in Sam, T-A. Nerdista.
Aline sells a MySpace profile, I believe.
I might. I don't
Only
know.
Only creepy stalkers would know that about me, Anna.
That's me.
Hey, am I in your top 8?
Thank you for having us. I mean, for joining us.
Thanks for having me with us, too. We're so good at podcasting, you guys.
Right. Our in and out music was provided by Julie Jerkins, who we love. And you can find her on Twitter at HiMissJulie. HiMissJulie.
Bye.
Okay, welcome to Bellwether Friends.
I'll start like that again.
It's going well. This is gonna go great.